Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another morning at Breakthrough Academy. We're glad to be here. I'm here with myself, Josh Dobie, and I'm here with Pastor Peter.
Hey, everybody.
So we're glad for everyone tuning in, to all of our regulars. I already see Brooke commenting. Good morning. Good morning to you, Brooke. Was Brooke on here last time?
Listen, we're back with the 18 now. We've got Josh here. No, but I'm very blessed that throughout this time, and even when you and Josh are away, I've got people like Brooke who just can step right in and flow, and brings a different sort of, you know, different sort of emphasis and strength to it. But I'm just so grateful that we've got this team that we can work with.
Well, I mean, if Brooke can do it, anybody can do it. No, we were on it. I take that back. That was a joke. We were on the tram at the time, I think the first week, and so we were tuning in. I don't remember exactly what she was saying, but I just remember whenever she speaks, like the spirit was speaking. So I love it, Brooke. Hopefully it won't be the last time we see you on here.
Oh, I've got a comment here. Actually, I'll pop this one up. She goes, someone has just commented, oh, I was hoping you'd have that gorgeous, intelligent and wise girl from last week. I wonder who that was. Anyway, thank you for the comment from Brooke Lewis.
No, that was really awesome. I actually still have to go back and watch those. So, and welcome to Nadir today.
We got Nadir in the studio.
He's not on the camera, but he's in the studio with us. You are always welcome to be here in person. This is great that we're doing it live from here, and you can be in your house. But this can also be played back and watched again in the future.
And it's one of the reasons we don't pre-record this. A lot of Bible studies, they pre-record.
Yeah.
Then you can edit it, fix it up, do a few things and send it on its way. We do this live because we want to be able to interact. We also do it live because we want to give people the opportunity to come and be part of it. And so we love your comments.
Yeah.
And we love the fact that you bring something to us that we can bounce off and build upon as we're doing it. So, well, let's get stuck in. We've been studying about Jesus and just looking at all the different aspects of Jesus. In fact, I was looking at a scripture just this morning, John 8.
John 8.
John 8, 14.
Get it. Just realized I hadn't had my Bible out yet.
Here we go. So, Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. That's pretty cool. Yeah. I know where I came from and I know where I'm going.
Yeah.
If we could get that confidence in our lives, I know where I've come from and I know where I'm going.
Yeah.
So my life is sort of, you know, we often talk about the bookends of Jesus.
Yeah.
He knows he came from heaven. He was going to the cross, and from the cross he was going back to the throne. Through that, his whole life was being being lived.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Those things were constantly building attention that enabled him to do what he was doing right there. He knew where he came from, knew where he was going. And I think that's what we all need. We know our calling, what we've come from, what God has done for us. And when I say what we came from, I'm not talking about, my life was, before Christ, I was in sin. No, it's what Jesus has done for me, the calling that he has, the purpose, and then where I'm heading and what God's got for me and the plans.
Yeah.
And in that, then I live my life now through those
intentions. That's good. Like, how differently do you live now because of those two things?
Yeah.
And if you don't know those things, it could be meaningless almost to someone that doesn't know that.
Yeah.
Just going along.
Going, that's what I think people in the world, they're just going with what they have. They're sort of
the flow.
They're going with the flow. You know, there's nothing to lock them into. Hey, I'm actually created by God. You know, think of the fact that just acknowledge that we have been created by God is huge. A lot of people don't recognize that.
Yeah.
And nowadays with the talk of evolution and everything, that's some people say, oh, evolution, it's no big deal. You can still talk about the Bible, still talk about Jesus. But evolution undermines everything about our who we are. But not just about that, not just about our origins, but who God is our creator.
Yeah.
All right. Not just talking about what has happened in the past.
Yeah.
It's a relationship that affects today.
Yeah.
And it also affects the future because as the creator, he's also the judge.
Yeah.
All right? Because he created us, he is our judge. No one else has that right. You know, when people say, how dare you judge me? Well, that's sort of a sense because, well, who am I to judge you? Who are you to judge me? And that's the world we live in at times as people say, how dare you judge me? How dare you judge me for, you know, my sexuality? How dare you judge me for my choices? Yeah. How dare you judge me for my desires? How dare you judge me for the dreams I have? How dare you judge me? Because who are you to judge me? But the creator... He does. How dare you? Well, he says, yeah, you can dare me all you like because I'm your creator. I made you, I formed you, and I did it with a purpose.
Yeah.
I did it with I had something in mind. I wasn't just creating mindlessly and saying, let's see what happens. Actually, I created you with something on my mind. You know, when you look at Jeremiah, when God called Jeremiah, let's actually look at Jeremiah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah speaking, came to me saying, formed you in the womb, I knew you.
Yeah.
And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet of the nations. Jeremiah said, the Lord came to me and said, listen, I had a plan for you before you were even out of the womb.
Yeah.
He says, it wasn't a case of, let's see, you're born. Oh, I wonder what I'll do. Let's see how you turn out.
See where he turns up, what he does.
Yeah.
What he likes.
Yeah, what he's like. And okay, and then I'll see if I can work with it. No. Right from the start. He's like, I've got a plan for you. I've got something in mind for you. I know who you are and what you're called to, and that's because he's the creator.
Mm.
So where we came from, even taking our born again status and the fact of what Jesus has done for us. Let's go back one step further. God has created us. I know where I've come from. I know that God is my creator. I know that when I was formed in the womb, he knew me. And people say, oh, but I was an accident. And they didn't mean to happen. When I was, the terrible circumstance. God says, but I still knew you and I still have this plan for you. And so that anchors me.
Yeah.
I know where I came from.
Yeah.
I know what God is. I know who I am. And God being our creator, I want to do a series. My heart's so big on the fact that we are created, not just evolved. And people think, oh, you got to... I read a great quote this week by someone said, there's possibly a lot of reasons why people can fall away from the faith. And there's people who are raised in church, kids are raised in church, and they fall away or they drift away from God. And he says, but I'll tell you what, one reason they shouldn't and isn't a valid reason is science. He said, science should never be the reason why you drift away from God. He said, science supports what God does so strongly. If you understand how to interpret, understand what how science works, operational science, which is, measurements of gravity and all the rest, and you can put it in a test tube and test it over and over. Yeah, that's a God thing.
Mm.
Then historical science, being able to understand... interpret things through the lens of filters and evidence. Well, people make that. That's where biases and misunderstandings or things come in. And if you look at science, if you look at what our evidence is, we are so designed, we are so created. There is no way we could be where we are and who we are and all the things we are. There's no way. Chemical reactions do not define and don't make sense in the sense of where we are and what we do. A series of, give it billions of years even, and it doesn't matter. It's still not going to ever, you're never, ever going to get what we are. Science is so clear. So I love, this is not, something where we've got to just touch the Bible and forget everything you've learned in the, in your science class. No, if you understand the Bible and understand science, they mesh together perfectly. So, but that... We are created. It's one of the bookends. It's one. Yeah. Jesus, I know where I came from. Well, he knew where he wasn't created. He knew he'd come from heaven. He knew he'd come from being in the presence of God. We've studied that over the last few weeks. So he knew that. But I know I'm created. I know I'm a created being. I know we are created, and I know that my life is created.
Mm.
That anchors me and gives me understanding why I'm here on the earth, because I have a purpose. One of the things that by not understanding you're created means that you've just become a meaningless series of of accidents. Do you know what I mean? That, you know, you're just existing because, what purpose is there? And you can try and make a purpose, but ultimately you end up like when Solomon lost his concept, and he says everything under the sun, which means that he lost sight of anything beyond what this life was.
Yeah.
You know, Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, you know, life under the sun is just, you know, it's vanity. What's the point? I chase all these things. I do all the good deeds. I get rich. I get happy. But what's the point?
Yeah.
Because he'd lost one of his bookends.
Mm.
That God was above. Yeah. So by having that, it anchors us. And then it anchors us in the sense that God's got a plan, a future, a purpose for us, and what he's called us to. So everything I'm doing here is like, you know, Jesus said, you know, don't be concerned about man who can just kill the body. Concerned about God, because, you know, he's got the soul.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like, you know. So things that happen today, you know, some of you, things happen today, some of the stuff that you're going to, you know, you have to handle some stuff today. Just go, yeah. Now, you know, I know where I'm going.
Don't sweat it.
Yeah, that's where I know where I'm going. I know where I've come from.
Yeah.
I know where I'm going. And I'll get through. It'll be fine. Whatever. I know where I'm going.
How much more peace and joy and all these things are added to your life when you live a life between those two bookends?
Exactly. Yeah. You know?
That's good.
So that's Jesus is our example of that, someone who knew where he came from, knew where he was going. And then as we embrace the life of Jesus, we understand, that gives me understanding where I came from and where I'm going. Yeah. It gives me that confidence. In John chapter 15, I want to look at John 15 particularly today. We actually looked at it last week with that wonderful assistant I had in Brooke. We looked at the first few verses where it talked about Jesus is the vine. We're the branches.
Yep.
And before we sort of dive into a verse there, in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, then we have some great teaching. This is like summary teaching. Jesus is heading to the cross. You know, these last seven chapters, I think it was. If you look at John 13, it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own." You know, so it's in that final week.
Yeah.
All right. So John, you know, chapter 13 through to 21. Sorry, the last, you know, third of the whole book of John is just really concentrating on one week.
Mm.
All right, so Jesus lived for 33 years on the earth. John really just picked up on the 3 years of his ministry, and then really he just focused in on that last week. So it's like focus. The last week is really important.
Yeah,
there's a lot of stuff there, but not just in what he did and what he taught, and the things that he was bringing things to a real head.
Yeah,
you know, there was some real head, and it sort of came to a very big moment in John chapter 17, where he does his high priestly prayer, and it's like a transition. He's like, he just supersedes. Okay, he's been on the earth, he's living on the earth, he's going to die, but he now intercedes for us and sort of prays. In John chapter 17, he has this actually really interesting phrase. Verse 20, and I'll look at it in a couple different versions. Look at the sense of what Jesus is praying. He says, "I'm not only praying only for these, but also," this is the Jewish Bible, "but also for those who will trust in me because of their word." All right. I think the New Living Translation. I'm praying not only for these disciples. You know, I'm not just praying. Jesus, I'm not just praying for these here, the ones you've given me.
Yeah.
But I'm praying for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. Jesus actually prayed for you.
That's pretty cool.
Think about it. Jesus, when he did that, he said, "I'm praying for that person."
And like, you know, Jesus is God. Jesus, who, like, you know, created you, knew you.
Yeah.
You know, he's praying for you, the one that he knows. So you can read those words as if it's like Like, it doesn't say it in this verse. Yeah. It can just say that he's praying for us. But you add that piece of information.
Yeah.
It's like, Jesus, who knows me, the very depths of my heart, yeah, you know, who knew me before I was formed, he was praying for me here.
He was praying for you. That he was cool. He was interceding, not just for those in front of him, but like I said, for you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the prayer went out and it encapsulated everyone who would believe the message. You know, message Bible, I'm praying not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me because of them and their witness about me. So, it was passion. I ask not only for those these disciples, but also for all those who will one day believe in me through their message. Well, that's me. All right? And he said, I'm believing. So the high priestly prayer, he's interceding not just for where he is now, but for all those after the cross and after the resurrection and everywhere it's gone. So it's like he's bridged this gap.
No one is left out of that.
No. And he's praying for them and what we're going to be doing and the unity that we'll have and that we'll bring glory to God. So John 17 is this prayer that transcends just that moment.
Yeah.
He's seeing the moment, but he's seeing the future, and he's interceding for it, and he's praying for it. So it's a great, very interesting prayer to read and say, this is what Jesus was praying for us today. This is what he was looking at. This is what he was seeing. It says in the book of Hebrews, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He saw what was ahead, and in this moment, he was interceding and praying for it. And so it was a transition prayer in the sense he was saying, I have accomplished that which you've called me to do. Now, he still had the work of the cross and everything like that. So it was not like, I've finished, but it was the prayer that covered that transition time. So it's an amazing prayer. So 14, 15, and 16 is the teaching that leads up to that. And then you have that prayer, and then it's into the work of the cross. So it's just a lot packed in of weighty, important concepts that he's giving. I think that chapter 15, you know, sits between 14 and 16. Very, pretty clever.
That was a revelation to some people.
Christine says, what an amazing... I should get in the habit of just popping these up so people...
if you comment and we like it, we'll put it up.
We'll put it up. And this also helps because what happens is people can be watching through YouTube and people can be watching through Facebook and hopefully in the short future, Instagram Live. but this means that we can see comments from both.
Yeah.
But people on Facebook can't see the comments from YouTube.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
And people from YouTube won't be able to see the comments on Facebook. So if we pop them up on the screen, it means everybody gets to see them.
Yes.
So Christine said, what an amazing concept when you stop and think that Jesus is praying for me. So humbling, but so exciting. Yeah, I
think that's pretty special.
I agree with that. So we've got this build, and then 14, 15, 16, this teaching, and it's like condensing. You know, Jesus, like, I'm trying to get it all in.
Just in a couple of chapters.
Yeah, I'm just, this is me pouring out my heart. And what I'm and part of what it is the whole, this is why I've come. This is the purpose. This is if you go back to chapter 14. Now a lot of people think this is the purpose. Let not your heart be troubled, believe in me, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. People say that's the purpose. So Jesus has come to make us ready for heaven. That's the plan. That's what he had in his mind. That's what he was. That was what he was focused on. Well, yeah, he said, "This is what I came for. Don't worry. I'm making a place for you. I'm preparing you and equipping you." John 3:16. God so loved the world that gave his only unique Son, that whoever believes in Jesus won't perish, won't go to destruction, but will have eternal life. And that's the plan. If we trust in him, we have life forever. The forever part is not the the key there, because we will have forever have destruction, or we forever have life. You don't get eternity when you believe in Jesus. Some people think, when I believe in Jesus, I get eternity. No, eternity is what you've got because of you've got an eternal spirit.
Everybody's an eternal.
Everybody's eternal. What you do get is you move from eternal destruction to eternal life.
Changes the
that's the destiny of the where you spend your eternity. Okay. So that's the cool thing. Not that you get eternity, because. But where you spend eternity. So that's the plan. I say, but, and so John 14, he said, that's what I'm planning for you. But people think, oh, that's the plan. He came to heaven, he came from heaven to earth so he would take us to heaven. That's the plan. Well, that's part of the big picture, but there's a lot more to it. That's not, he wasn't sort of saying, I just want to get you to heaven. Just want to get you to heaven. If I can get you to heaven, I'm happy. No, there's a bigger picture and a bigger plan, and that's what John 14, 15, and 16 have. Now, I'm going to do this in the context of four promises that Jesus gave. See if you can pick up anything similar about these promises in 14, 15, and 16. All right? I hope you don't have to be like, you know, Sherlock Holmes to work this one out. I think it's, you know. All right, let's see if... let's go to verse 13 of chapter 14. So, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. In chapter 15, in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you.
Seeing a pattern.
You've seen a pattern already, Josh. I've only given two. You can't see the pattern yet. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. Chapter 16, verse 23. He picking any patterns up, people? In that day you will ask me no question. Truly, I say to you, if you shall ask the Father for anything, he will give it to you in my name. Until now, you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be made full. Four promises. Anyone pick up the connection?
Something about asking. In my name.
Yeah.
I'll give it to you.
Yeah, he did. That's right.
Some even said wish.
Yeah. Anything you desire, anything you want. And so we'll just go back to the first seven. Verse 13. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son.
That the Father may be glorified.
Yeah. Now, so there's a lot of open-ended. Whatever you ask, do that so God gets the glory.
Yeah.
Whatever you ask. Did you notice that they were very big statements? He sort of said, up until now, you haven't asked for anything. Ask for anything.
Yeah.
He said, ask just whatever. Just ask. Ask in my name and the Father will do it. Ask in my name and I will do it. You know, I think what's happened is, this is my perspective here, okay. He's summing up. This is what we're doing. This is what we're going. This is not about heaven now. This is the plan for on earth before heaven.
Yeah.
Okay. This is also the plan after the resurrection. This is talking about what happens after the resurrection. So I've got this plan for you.
Yeah.
You can see this in verse 25, because he says, these things I've spoken to you while I'm here with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. I'm teaching you these things now, but in the future, when the Holy Spirit's come, he will show you these things. So it's like, okay, I'm here now, but now I'm talking about when the Holy Spirit comes. And it's like, if I don't go, it's really important that he comes.
He said it's good that I go.
Yeah. Go back to verse 15 and 16, right after the promises of... if you ask me anything, I will do it. And he says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. All right. I'm with you for a short time. He's going to be with you right through. It's this, who is this? The Spirit. So yeah, it's you know, this is the transition. I'm setting you up for the future.
Yeah.
This is the plan. And then I'm going to pray for you. All right, Dante, I'm going to pray for you, but I'm setting you up. I'm giving you some instruction. I'm giving you some teaching. One thing you need to know is you need to ask. You need to ask. All right. You need in this future you where you're doing what I'm calling you to do,
yeah,
being who I've called you to be. You're going to have to just ask. You're going to need resources. You're going to need stuff. You're going to need things to happen. You should be free to ask. And I love what he says, you know, ask anything.
Yeah.
It's like very...
It's like he wants you to ask.
Yeah.
Like, please, ask.
It's essential. You need to ask. Ask me and anything. Ask anything.
Yeah.
Now, my teaching sort of pastoral heart said, whoa, Jesus. Just settle down.
Jesus is going off. Get him back.
Yeah. Maybe a few qualifications needed here, Jesus. Not this. Ask anything. You know, like look at verse 14. If you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'm like, anything? Well, you know, a couple of things. I know what people are like. Jesus. When you say ask anything, do you realize what they're going to ask?
Yeah.
And
there are a few things there that
are... And also, I am aware that there are qualifications in the Bible, and sometimes if people ask, for instance, if you go to the book of James, I think it's chapter 4, I'll do it without looking. Yeah, yes, perfect.
Done.
Let's just read the longer version because we're at Academy. What is the source of your quarrels and conflicts among you? Not in a good place, all right? They're fighting. Is not the source of your pleasures that you wage war in your members? Okay, these guys are fighting each other.
Yep.
You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. Well, that's quite a church. I've never had to stay in up my church and say, guys, you are lusting and you're committing murder because of it. Never gone that far in our church, praise God. And you are envious and cannot obtain. So you fight and you quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask.
Mm.
And talking now about prayer.
Yeah.
You haven't asked, but you ask and don't receive because you ask with wrong motives.
Yeah.
That you may spend it on your own pleasures.
Not God glorifying.
No, this is, so here's the qualification. Asking for anything is... not actually accurate if there are qualifications.
Yeah.
All right. There's Jesus didn't mention it in the verse of John 14.
It's like there's sort of bookends for that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. It sounds open. If you just read verse 14, if you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it.
Yeah.
There's no qualifications there. But you look at a bigger picture. You look at other teaching. There are some qualifications. Right. But I was like, if I was doing this, and always say, everyone, look up to God and say, thank God, Pastor Peter didn't write the Bible. Thank God, Pastor Peter is not Jesus, because, you know, he'd probably be the only one going to heaven. If I was doing this, Jesus, step aside, a little bit of advice here. You need to start with the qualifications, because otherwise people are going to run off half-baked, you know what I mean? Four bold commandments, really. Ask.
Yeah.
Ask. Ask for anything. I'll do it. Ask for anything in my name. We'll do it. Four bold. Do it. Do it. Do it. But the qualifications are sort of hidden in there. And there's only one verse that really, you know, they all have a little bit of qualification.
Yeah.
But chapter 15, verse 7, starts with a qualification. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you.
Yeah.
All right. But I'm saying, Jesus, even then, I'm not sure people are going to focus on that bit.
Yeah.
They're going to,
No.
White noise.
Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you.
And then you match it up with John 14, you know, 14, with if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So bang. Mm. So Jesus, a little word of advice. Four qualifications with one promise. Not four promises with one qualification. Right. Just reverse it, you know what I mean? Lots of qualifications, and then when they've got all the qualifications all locked in, then you can give them this bold. Because this promise is it's explosive. It's life-changing. Do you know what I mean? It's huge. It's a big promise.
Yeah.
Ask anything you want, Josh. Ask anything you want.
What do you desire?
And so, you know, I sort of said, God, maybe we could fix this up. And God, you know, God never takes any of my suggestions. No, he takes them seriously, but he doesn't listen to them with a, you know, you're right.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Oh, man, should have consulted you before I did this. Because you know what? If I was writing the Bible, you would hear restriction, 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 restriction. And when you've got all the restrictions right, then you're free to ask. And
yeah.
Narrow. And then you can ask. God's like, no. I want you to see this now just through his eyes and through his... These four verses are in the summary of what Jesus is doing, okay? The whole purpose. We've sort of been talking this over the last few weeks. He had a plan. He wasn't just here on earth, and his plan wasn't just to get us to heaven.
Yeah.
His plan was more, you know what I mean? And he saw it, and he was living for it and excited for it. He was saying things like, the Spirit's going to come... And out of your innermost being is going to flow rivers of living water. He's like, you know, you're going to change. You're going to become a vehicle of life flowing, and something's going to happen in you. This is the plan. This is the plan. And when you're in this plan, when this great final plan is happening, you're going to need all the resources you can get. You're going to need freedom just to have God involved in everything. Anything you need, he says, you need God. Need the confidence to do this. You need to be bold in this. You need to be confident. You need to be asking. You need to be calling upon God. And so, because God wants to get involved with that. But it's sort of like, you need to be asking. You need to be calling on him. Yeah. You need to be doing. And I say, oh God, but what happens if it's the wrong motives? What happens, you know, he said, well, first of all, it says you ask, and because of your wrong motives, you don't get it.
Yeah.
There is a safety here. God's like, I'm not doing that. If you get it wrong, God's like, I'm not doing that. All right, so it just doesn't happen. Now, what that does is that actually can confuse people and upset people and cause them to maybe go back and explore a little bit deeper. Do you know what I mean? So if your prayers aren't answered, that's your, oh, hang on a sec, maybe I'm getting something wrong. All right, but this is what I think God wanted. God wanted us to go full bore at praying, and then if it doesn't work, he wants us to explore why not, so that we can keep praying.
Yeah.
All right. Not as religion would do, is narrow down your prayers and you only really pray. You notice religious people, and this is something I know, religious people pray very vague, very general prayers, because
if it be your will.
Yeah, there's no confidence.
Yeah.
They pray big prayers.
Yeah.
Lord, save all the people in India, you know.
Feed all the children in Africa.
It's sort of broad, you know, Lord, let your church be full of life, you know. And that's good. That's a nice, they're not bad prayers. And they're
nice
not bad. Yeah, they're nice sentiments, but they're not focused enough to know whether there's, you actually can't sort of say, yes, we got that answered.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There's, they're not measurable.
Yeah.
All right. They're not particularly sort of measurable. They, you know, you say, oh yeah, well, you know, look at how the gospel's worked in Africa over the last 200 years. I understand that, but I'm saying for you, you can't say, I prayed this and God answered because of my prayer here. This happened. Do you know what I mean? You can't sort of say, here's my prayer.
Yeah.
Here's my answer.
Yeah.
Because if my prayer is vague, then I can't tie that in. I don't think God wants that. I think he wants you to have prayers that are very, very life-based and very real and very much, God, I'm praying for that. I'm praying for you, who's got, you know, a sickness, to be healed today.
That's good.
A measurable response. I'm praying for you, who's facing this problem, to get an answer today. I'm praying for God to turn around the battles that you're facing in your life today, and you get a change. And you can say, oh, look at this. This is what happened. This is how God intervened. This is what God did. And then I can say, so that's the kind of prayers I think God wants. That's the kind of prayers I think he's inviting.
Yeah.
And but that can be, that can lead to a lot of disappointment, because, hey, if you're praying with the wrong motives, and there's other things that, you know, I could come up with a list of 10 things where that can, you know, can influence a prayer, you know, like In Ephesians, it says, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. It says, take up the whole armor of God that you can withstand the enemies. You know, we're in a battle here.
Yeah.
You know, your prayers aren't just isolated from a spiritual warfare. You know, so Jesus went about doing good, healing all those who are under the oppression of the devil. This was not just a neutral thing that he was dealing with. He wasn't just praying for someone to get who was sick to get well.
Yeah.
He was praying for someone who was being affected by a tyrant in the devil and releasing and breaking him from that. And that's why, you know, he had to speak powerfully, and at times he had to speak to the sickness or rebuke the devil. You know, it says, you know, there was someone, I think, you know, I'm trying to think of particular scriptures, but we looked at it when we did healing.
Yeah.
You know, when Jesus, when a man came to him and was deaf and dumb, it says he cast out the deaf and dumb spirit. All right, it was a spiritual battle that was going on.
Mm.
So there's a lot of other things happening. I'm not just, I'm saying, you know, sometimes when your prayers aren't answered, it could be wrong motives. It can be because there's a resistance that needs to be pushed through. There's all sorts of things that stop prayer. But as a teacher, I become focused on here are the 10 things that are stopping it, you know, and I make it narrow and narrow. And in the end, what some people do is like, well, I'm just going to pray general prayers so I never know. Because it's just so confusing and so disappointing to have prayers that are not answered. So why not just pray for general prayers so I'm never disappointed?
Yeah.
And that's not the heart of this. 4 times, pray, whatever you want, pray. Jesus is not trying to restrict you. He's trying to grow you.
Yeah.
But then in the middle of it is the part that enables all this to happen.
Mm.
All right? There's a part which is a portal that if you connect with this, everything else makes sense.
Mm.
All right? And you say, well, why didn't Jesus give us this? Because Jesus, like, the portal is not so that you can get your prayers answered. The portal is what the whole purpose is.
Yeah.
All right?
That's good.
I'll say that again. The portal, what I'm saying, that this narrowness, and narrow is a terrible word, but this focus of what enables our prayers to be answered is what Jesus is, this chapters 14, 15, 16 is all coming to anyway. If you get hold of what Jesus is talking about, then the prayer part takes care of itself.
Yeah.
Okay? And you say, but what I'm saying is Jesus did not teach it as a, if you want your prayers answered, you need to do this.
Yeah.
All right? This is not a, this is stopping you getting your prayers answered because you're not doing that. Jesus is saying, this is what the whole purpose is.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, when you're doing this, you're going to ask for anything. You need to be, when you're doing this, ask for anything.
Yeah.
You need to be asking. This requires you to be bold in your prayers. This requires you to be asking and confident and believing me, because when you're in this, you need to be really activated.
Yeah. And that's also, and one of them said, I forgot the exact line, where it's like your joy may be complete.
Yeah.
So like, this is not also, you know, you abide in him, his word abides in you, you ask whatever that you want, so that, you know, and this is now good things, God glorifying things.
Yeah.
So that there's, as we said, there's all those things, but it's also so that your joy may be complete. So when, like, so going back to that prayer of,
there
like,
it is, 16:24, until now you've asked for nothing in my name, ask and you'll receive that your joy may be made full.
Complete. Full, yeah. So like, so if you're praying for the children in Africa, it's like, it's not really, you know, you're wanting.
You can't get that answered prayer and the joy that is connected with that fulfillment.
He wants you to pray prayers and ask for things in his name so that your joy would be made full.
Yeah. And it's like by the seeing what happened. How exciting is that? You know?
Yeah.
And
that's like, and then you pray again and you ask again. I also remember, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I forgot like the message. So maybe I might just jog your memory. I remember Jesse Duplantis was talking, he was on stage, and like he was just saying, like telling the congregation about, you know, he was talking to God, and like God was saying that I have these storehouses full of stuff.
Yeah.
And I need to clear them out so I can put more things in. But nobody's asking me for stuff. You know what I mean? He wants to, obviously, you know, God can't.
Yeah.
He can he can make more. But yeah, like, but well, it's like he has this stuff and he wants to clear them out so he can get more stuff and yeah, like ask.
Well, Malachi 3 talks about, and when we tithe, it opens the storehouse, yeah, the windows of heaven. So the storehouses are sort of, it literally, Billy Brim points out for the Hebrew, it literally means that the storehouses might be emptied out.
Yeah.
That the heavens might be empty. You know, like, and we're not so saying, oh, heavens run out of resources. Yeah. But it's like, yeah, and it's like, hey, I've got all this stuff for you, but
I need you to
do these things and pray these things and ask these things. But so, the portal, this is how I view this. That's good. Have you guys ever caught a bug in a bug catcher?
Not personally, but I've seen them.
Okay, so they're sort of like a funnel with a small tube.
Yeah, I understand how they work, yeah.
And then there's a container down here. All right, so this is, and this tube comes inside. I don't know whether that makes sense. Anyway, so you've got to imagine you've got a fly. Bzzz, and you put something gooey or good in this fly catcher.
Something that flies like.
So this part here is like a glass or a plastic sort of cylinder. So you can see this.
You can see through.
This is a non-see-through tube. All right, but this is a glass thing. And you put something in there that flies love. And the fly senses that and says, well, if I go down through this tube and then out here, I get to sit on and enjoy this gunk, you know, whatever that's attracted me in there. And it's amazing. And then the fly thinks, all right, so then the fly looks out and he can see over here, you know, the trees. And he says, you know, the fly says, well, you know what I'm doing now? I'm just going to fly over to this tree. It's because he can see, he looks through this glass container and he goes, I'm going to go back to this tree. And he hits the wall and he's confused. And he looks over and sees another tree on the other side. So he heads over that side. Boom. Meanwhile, another fly smells it and goes down with him.
Just while you're drawing that, Pastor Christina said, Peter, you draw almost as well as me.
Oh, that's nasty. that's an unkind statement.
There's obviously nothing behind that. That's just
the sound effects on the fly. So why do the flies get trapped? Because there is no gate or no valve or anything like that.
Yeah.
This is not a one-way tube.
Yeah.
This tube, the flies could go back there. But what it is, when they get down here, they get drawn to what they can see, but they can't, you know, they never get there. They just, it's restricted.
And that's open the whole time.
That's open the whole time. If they would simply go up that portal, the world is theirs. If they would just...
Go to all the trees.
Yeah, you could go anywhere you want if you just restrict yourself to that portal. So, my question is that portal restricting? Right. Okay. Is it? It's small, but it's actually the biggest thing in the
world. Yeah.
It's the biggest thing they've got.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's if they will just focus on that one area, the world is theirs.
That's right.
But if they chase what they can see and don't restrict themselves, they are in a cage.
Mm.
All right.
That's good.
People who do not want to follow Jesus say, "I'm free," and then they hit the glass. I'm free, I can do whatever I want. Because life is not free. Well, this world is not free. And eventually when you die, it's certainly not free. There's destruction. The end of this world is destruction. John 3:16. You're going to fly and hit destruction at some point. And so people say, I'm free. Jesus say, come to me. I'm not going to restrict myself to Jesus and his ways and his teachings and his requirements. Why would I do that when I've got all this world?
Yeah.
Bang, 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 chase. And Jesus said, oh, if you come to me, they say, oh, that's so narrow. You know, that's a narrow way. I'm the way. And he talked about there's a narrow path and a wide path.
Yeah.
This is the wide path, but the wide path is narrower than the narrow path. If you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If you will come to Jesus through his path.
Yeah, that's good.
You get promises like, if you ask me anything, I will do it.
I will do it for you.
If you ask anything, and so your joy may be full. These are, that's like, oh. What is it? And it's not like, oh, I want the stuff, and therefore I got to narrow it. That's I really don't want us to think, okay, what Jesus is saying is, here's what, if I restrict myself to this, then I can get all the stuff I want.
It's a means to the end.
It's a means. So that's why it's just a flycatcher. Jesus did not preach the flycatcher.
Yeah.
This is my parable, all right? So there's some limitations and there's some restrictions. You're not flies and you're not chasing, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. But what I'm also saying, I don't want us to see this as a, if I do this, then I can get the stuff I want.
Yeah.
All right? So this is, I asked for this, and I didn't get it. Ah, but if I tick these boxes, then I will get it. So that's not the purpose. That's not why Jesus taught four qualifications and one promise. He taught four promises with one qualification, effectively.
Yeah.
Because the qualification was not meant to be a qualification. It was meant to be, hey, you do this in light of the teaching that I'm giving you and where I'm aiming you. And then I want you to be asking. So it marries together. It's a part of this big purpose. So what was it that Jesus was focusing on? What was the reason that he could give such bold promises was because if you got hold of this, then everything else will you know, comes together and it works. And it all comes to do with the word meno. Meno. Let me go back to... Sorry, Mum. I wonder who did that. Do you reckon that would be... That looks like Jay's writing.
Yeah. I feel like Jay would be saying sorry.
Yeah. And I think he would be apologising to his mother.
He's not here
today. That's my son, Jay.
So we can say these things.
He stays on in our hearts. He's apologising. Okay. It's a Greek word, meno. Very simple word, meno. It's not a spiritual, clever... mystical word. It was a normal Greek word that they just used for a whole range of things. All life use. It was a common word in life, which I like about it, okay? Mm. And this word, in New American Bible, is translated as abide.
Mm.
Okay, so if we... Josh, maybe we can do a head count of the word abide in this passage.
Mm-hmm.
All right, from verse 4. I'll just read through quickly and you just count with your fingers or count out loud. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them, cast them in the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples. Verse, just as the Father's loved me, I've also loved you. Abide in my love. Eight. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Nine. Just as I've kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. All right, how many did we get to?
Ten.
We didn't have, we started at verse 4 and we got to verse 10 and we had 10 times.
Yeah.
So if that's not a clue, Sherlock, I don't know what is. All right.
abide.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, there's probably something about that concept and that word.
Yeah.
All right. Now I want you to understand the difficulties of. Okay. First of all, abide. I was thinking today as I was driving over here. When was the last time I used the word abide without talking about these verses in my normal English language? I don't use the word abide.
No.
I don't think it's part of my normal language. Can someone sort of?
If you would ask me the definition of it outside of that, I'm like, I'm not sure.
I know. Yeah. It's like, can someone tell me, you know, online if you're watching and say, oh, I actually use that word often, or like the other day I use that word. It's not a word that I just unless I'm talking about Bible things.
Yeah.
You know, I don't use it in my everyday language. That's normally a bit of a danger sign in terms of understanding Bible truths.
Yeah.
Because if I'm using a word that is not a word that I use unless it's in the Bible, I'm probably not going to be understanding its general context or anything. So other Bible translations use other words because I think for that very reason. Abide is an English word. It has an English definition, but it's not a word that I just use freely.
Yeah.
But meno is a word that they use frequently. This is not like a, this is what I'm saying. It's not just a spiritual word.
Yep.
And it's not just used in terms of teaching and the particular meanings that Jesus is giving it here. I understand that sometimes when Bible teachers used a word, they gave it a word that was very focused and particular, and they were drawing more out of it than the normal language was. And I think meno is one of those words, but it's a general word and it has a bit of a range of meanings and it can be used in those meanings. I want us to go to 1 John 3:24 because there's a very interesting, again, John uses this word a lot. One of John's favorite words for the teaching of Jesus. First John 2:24. Anyone who went to 3:24, so boy, I don't know how you get that out of this. Do you know 3:24 has two uses of the word abide anyway?
Yeah.
So it wouldn't look that strange. I was going there. For 2:24. I'm reading this from the New American. As for you, let that abide in you, which heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. Okay, meno, meno, meno.
Mm.
Or, you know, that's the key word that's being used there. Let's go back to the King James. Don't often do the King James, but it's handy in this one.
Yeah.
It shows the problem with this word. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you notice that where we said abide, 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 this one has abide, remain, and continue.
Mm.
That's the three.
Abide, that's good.
Abide, remain, continue is meno.
Yeah. Each one. Oh, wow.
All right, so it's the same Greek word,
yeah,
and it's not as if they're using a different Greek text here.
Okay.
They're the same Greek word, but they've translated it three different ways.
That's a really good way of putting it. Abide, remain, and continue.
Yeah. And it highlights the fact that it's an unusual choice they made, but it highlights the problems with the word meno.
Yeah.
Meno is a double-sided word. That sometimes you're using one side, sometimes you're using the other, sometimes you're using it one and the other in a mixture, and that they both are valid, and you just got to work, and depending on how you're looking at it. Let me sort of work here. So we've got this abide. Wycliffe started the whole thing, but he actually used the word dwell, and he used the same word three times, dwell. Abide, a dwell. If you abide somewhere, you're dwelling somewhere.
Yeah.
It's almost live, stay. You know, they're sort of English words that we use.
My own, it's not the exact same meaning, but my own thought was like marinate or to soak.
Okay. Like it's to soak. You know, like to sort of be in to something.
Absorb, yeah.
But then on the other side, you've got to remain, to stay. Continue. It talks about not just this side talks about what you're doing, but this side talks about the fact that you continue to do that.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know, you're not just, it's not a fleet, and it's not the focus on you're sitting in the chair, you're staying there.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? You're not.
Yeah.
All right. So sometimes when they use meno, they just use it in the sense of continue. Sometimes they use it in the sense of dwell. But when Jesus was using it and talking about it, it's like both are being used together.
Mm.
It's a combination.
That's
that
good.
One and the other. So it's got these two concepts working together. The New English translation. Let's just read it from. If I go into the commentary on this, from the New English Translated. Okay. Yeah, it's good. Right here, and it's going to sort of say what I was going to say, but this is New English Translation notes. The word that translated remain may also be translated reside, 3 times in 1 John 2:24. See also the notes in the translation of the Greek verb meno, mm-hmm, in 1 John 2:6 and in 1 John 2:9. Here, the word can really have both nuances of residing and remaining.
Mm.
And it's impossible for the English reader to catch both nuances if the translation provides only one.
Mm.
This occurs 3 times in 1 John 2:24. Yeah. In other words, it says, the English reader is struggling because it's used, and each time it's used, which one? It's both.
Yeah.
It's abide, stay, soak, you know, but reside is continue on, don't leave or whatever.
Yeah.
This is one word I use. If I say, when you stay in my home, all right, and that word stay, and when I use that, if I say stay, I talk to my dog, stay, don't move, stay, you know, be where you are, continue. But when I say stay in my home, it's like, stay, Josh. No, stay. Stay is a gentler, nicer word. It means enjoy my hospitality.
Yeah.
You know, live in my home, and I'll, you know, you'll have a nice bed and food. And so when you stay, if I say come and stay in my home, as opposed to if you stay in a tent, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but it's a stay. So there's that sense of dwelling, living, being there. If you stay in my home, you will stay under my protection.
Mm.
All right, you'll stay protected.
Yeah.
Right. So even though I use the same word stay, one talks about the dwelling.
Yeah, that's good.
The other one talks about I've got to continue on.
Yeah.
All right. As if I'm abiding here, I'm also remaining and getting something. This is the key to what Jesus said. He said, okay. I'm coming to the end of my life. The last week, teaching you, I'm training, and I'm condensing it. What can I tell you? What is this life like for you after I've gone? The resurrection and, the death on the cross, crucifixion, and then the resurrection. Then the key moment, the Holy Spirit coming. All right. When the Holy Spirit came to me, said Jesus, let's look at John 14. Oh, go back. I was in the Bible. I just forgot I was in. So I was just thinking, there's a scripture where the Holy Spirit came on Jesus, and I'm saying the Holy Spirit came and abide on him. All right, John chapter 1.
There you go.
Yeah. Verse 32. John the Baptist speaking here. He said, how did you know? I'm looking. They were saying, are you the Messiah? Are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah? He said, no, he's coming. I'm not even worthy to untie his sandal straps. You know, this is the one.
Mm.
All right. How do I know who's the one? He said, this is the one I was told. John bore witness saying, I beheld the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven. And the Spirit came and menoed on him.
I see that, yeah.
He abided, he dwelt, he remained. That's good. He menoed on him. And I did not recognize him. But he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and minnowing upon him. This is the one who baptizes you. When you see the Holy Spirit come and take up residence in someone, you'll know he's the one.
Wow.
All right? So Jesus said, how am I doing everything I'm doing? Because the Holy Spirit's come and made residence in me.
Yeah.
And it's a place of fellowship and intimacy and closeness, but it's a place of continuance. It's not a... He's locked in and he's stayed. Jesus says, now, I'm going. The Holy Spirit's going to come. This is how it's going to work for you. You and me are going to have this residence relationship.
Mm.
It's how's it going to happen? Well, John 14, verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it doesn't behold him or know him.
Mm.
It can't get him.
Yeah.
But you. But you, that's you good. Will know him because he abides with you. He will be in you. He will minnow with you.
Mm.
You're going to have a different relationship. The world the world doesn't have a minnow relationship.
That's good.
You're going to have a minnow. So he minnowed with me. You're going to minnow with you. And you're going to And in that, because he's the spirit of, you know, he's my spirit, you know, he shares things with me, that means that that's how it works in chapter 15. He says, well, what's this relation look like? He says, well, it's like a vine and a branch. The branch, as long as it minnows with the vine, as long as it... Okay, what does that mean? Does it mean a relationship or does it mean stays with and doesn't give up on? Yes, it means both. You know what I mean? See, the nuance means that you connect with and have a relationship with, but you also... you actually connect with make a permanency, and you connect with and you stay with. Do you know what I mean? Our relationship with God is not something that is fleeting or in and out or up and down. It's we lock in and he locks in with us, and it's a menno relationship.
Yeah.
We it talks about intimacy. I like that word. That like the word soaking. It's like I'm marinating in. Do you know what I mean?
I don't marinate.
Yeah.
So I could be saying the wrong thing, but you know, like a piece of like meat or whatever, once it's been marinated, it's no longer that. It can't. It's not plain anymore. It's not plain anymore. It's now like it's altered.
It's a tea bag in water.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's soaking, and the flavors are now interspersed. There is no tea bag, and there's no water. There is tea.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, there's no
that's,
tea.
That's a better one.
It's minnowed.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, this is how I've lived with this minnow relationship. You are going to have a minnow relationship through the Spirit that will enable you and me to have this relationship.
Mm.
What happens when you minnow with me and I can connect with you? Well, all sorts, it's multifaceted. It's the things that I say, you will marinate in those.
Yeah.
And you will do the things that I say because they'll be coming out of you.
Mm.
So it's my words, it's my spirit, it's the life that I bring, it's the love. You'll marinate in my love. You'll minnow in my love. You'll stay in my love.
Yeah.
You'll stay bringing the love. You won't sort
that
of.
That's good. Yeah.
You know, it's about relationship and permanency. Mm. It's connection. Minnow. And he says, you know, if you minnow, and you know, I'll give you an example. He said, it's like you take a branch and connect it to the vine. When they minnow together, the life that's in the vine comes out the branch, and the branch begins to bear fruit. Because the minnow relationship, the minnow relationship allows life to flow through it.
Life has to flow.
Has to.
It doesn't do that and not happen.
It cannot. If you've minnowed, you are now, it's like saying, okay, I put a tea bag in water. I say, I'll just have plain water. No, you won't. No, you cannot have plain water after you put a tea bag in.
Yeah.
because the tea bag will diffuse into the water.
It's infused.
It has to. You have tea. You no longer have water. You have tea.
Yeah.
All right. Because once you minnow with Jesus, you must bear fruit. All right. And the only reason you can't bear fruit is if there's things in your life that God says, well, listen, I'll just keep pruning those off to allow more life to be flowing.
Yeah, that's good.
All right? As I'm minnowing and working. So that's the purpose. Jesus says, when I go, I've got this minnow relationship. The Holy Spirit's made residence here and we're connected. Now the Holy Spirit's going to come and in that I'm going to connect with you.
Yeah,
and the good. Father, we're going to connect with you and you're going to have a relationship. And you're going to have a permanency and a connection that stays and keeps working and keeps working. And when you've got that minnow relationship, things will flow. And he says, I'll tell you something that happens when you've got that minnow relationship. Ask whatever you want. You'll need to ask things for this life to flow through you.
That's right.
I want you to ask. I want you, because good. One of the keys for this to flow out is your asking.
Yeah.
You need to be asking for things and calling on things and praying in my name, because that is one of the ways that this life gets out.
Yeah. And with that, when you are minnowing, when you're doing that, you will no longer ask the things that you would ask if you were outside of that.
Exactly.
And then you know you have that confidence. You ask anything in my name and he will give it to you to glorify God so that your joy may be complete.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
I'll use a very controversial example here. I'm already waiting for the comments. If you minnow with a tea bag, you will not have coffee. All right.
Oh, we're stopping there. what's next?
You won't get coffee. Let's say coffee is evil for a moment.
Oh, yeah.
Tea is good, coffee is evil. All right?
You don't want to switch them around?
Now, if you have coffee, you won't get your prayers answered. All right? But the only way not to get coffee is that you are not soaking a tea bag. You've gone to something else.
Yep.
All right? You're using... and that's why Jesus is like, I don't need to tell you about the coffee. What I'm saying is, minnow and the tea, you're not gonna be giving coffee prayers.
Yeah.
You don't put a tea bag in your water and end up with coffee prayers. Because that's not the overflow. The overflow is tea. It's what I am. You don't put Jesus and minnow together and end up with non-Jesus prayers.
Yeah.
With flesh prayers.
Yeah,
with
good.
Jealousy prayers. With, you know, envy prayers, with lust prayers. You don't end up with those prayers.
Yeah.
Because you can't minnow with Jesus and that's what flows out. And so Jesus, like, when you're minnowing and you say, well, and this is where the two things, it's the abiding and it's the consistency.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? That's where some people get into difficulty. They try and make minnow a visit. I can minnow with Jesus, but then I also minnow with other, you know, with my own flesh. It doesn't work like that, because that's not minnow.
Yeah.
Minnow is not I have a taste here.
Yeah.
You know, minnow is not like put the tea bag in, take the tea bag out. That's not minnow. Tea. Bit of coffee. Tea. Coffee. Tea. Coffee. Tea. Coffee. That's not how minnow works. Minnow isn't the fact that it goes in. Minnow is the fact that it goes in and remains.
Yeah.
It's a long term. But it's also, if I put a tea bag next to the cup and leave it there for a long time, that's also not minnow. Minnow is, it actually engages, it's relational.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
That's good.
It's those things. Brooke's got a very long comment here, so it's a silly, let me put it up. So, because I'm going to read it. Oh, that's very small text, so I'll read it anyway. It's a silly example, but it kind of reminds me of how I do my footy tips. I complete my footy tips usually after a reminder email and do it in 30 seconds. Then I walk away and completely forget about it. I watched the footy that night and can't remember which team I picked. It's literally, I just an item that I tick on my to-do list and each week, but it has no connection to me. And it's often surprised to discover I'm always losing the competition. Brooke, you probably might be surprised you actually do better in the competition doing that way than I don't want to my prayer time and Bible study be something I do so robotically, mindlessly, that I walk away unchanged and then wonder why God isn't answering my prayers and isn't speaking to me. Yeah, exactly. It's like a, just something I do. Bang, bang. But yeah. It's not, there's no no remaining and soaking in it and yeah. no relationship with
that's
that.
That's good.
Menno, yeah. So that's a good example of how you can do something in life that's not a menno. Mm. Menno is abiding and remaining.
Yeah.
Remaining and abiding. Both. So you just, every time you see the word abide, you just look. Now, that doesn't mean every time it's used in the Bible or in Greek language, it means both. Because sometimes it says, I menno'd, which means it talks about remain. I stay with you or I'll dwell with you.
Yeah.
But it just has that nuance that in these situations, it often is both of them.
Yeah.
And when it uses one, then it implies the other. And it just does the Greek translators, the Bible translators head in. How do I do this? And the trouble is they've picked the word abide, which sort of means abide means to stay, and abide means, but it's not a word I'm really familiar with. It's become a Bible concept.
Yeah.
All right. So when I say Bible concept, in the sense of I don't connect it to my normal life.
Yeah, it really has become one of those words, like as you said, it's. That's from the Bible. Yeah. Even though it's a normal word.
Yeah. So that's why. So so let's just have, you know, how other translations have done this. You know, like, so New English translate, remain in me and I will remain in you. Now, okay, that's a bit more English. But you know what? Remain doesn't give the relational feel to that.
Yeah. It's just like, sort of like location.
You're just there.
Yeah.
You don't have to be connected.
Yeah.
You know, you remain at the shops until I pick you up.
Yeah.
You're just there. I'm not. So you lose the relational side there. So the Jewish Bible, says, stay united with me as I will with you. For just as the branch can't put forth by itself apart from the vine, so you can't bear fruit apart from me. So, it's used unite, stay united, to bring that sense of relational, and then a partner that's used, trying to just do the concept
united, like of one accord.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, united. You're with me. King James is abide. Living Bible, take care to live in me and let me live in you. Then last, nor can you be fruitful apart from me. Mm. So you see how they have to use two different words because it's sort of not easy. New Living Translation. So they've to remain in, and I remain in you, unless you remain in me. So if they say, well, listen, we must use the same word because it's that's more consistent, then it becomes a bit harder to phrase because the words are sort of using the different nuance. Message Bible, live in me, make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way as the branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me.
Yeah.
Joined is probably, it loses the relational and loses the consistency. So it sort of sits in the middle and doesn't do either. Passion, you must remain in life union with me. For if I remain in life union with you, for as the branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. Loses the consistency.
Yeah.
It's this heavy on the relational, loses the other side, the consistent. Also becomes just, that's not how we speak. You must remain in life union. Life union. It's like, I'm just making up words. united, and then it goes to remain. So that the So, and what's the Amplified do?
That you normally do everything.
Yeah, dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I will live in you. They're both dwell and live, pushing to one side. They haven't done the consistency. Mm. Unless you abide in me, then they're going back and abide. without abiding in being vitally united to. All right, so it's talking about. But they've lost, the Amplified hasn't picked up, there's no nuance there of the consistency staying with something and doing it. So you can sort of see, so just menno, every time you see that word abide, remain, you know, stay, you're sort of, most likely in John's teaching in these areas, it's going to be talking about this concept. This is what Jesus was getting to. This is, and Part of me is just like, this is the most awesome thing when you think Jesus said, when I'm on earth, I have this relationship with the Holy Spirit. He abides in me and menos with me and remains in me. Yeah. And out of this, all this, so all the life that you see flowing out of Jesus is because of the Spirit menoing with him. He did not, he was totally dependent on where he menoed and stayed for the life flow.
Yeah.
All right. Good. It was not flowing out of himself. It was where he was connected.
Yeah.
He was connected. And he said, you, a fallen human, who an enemy of God, with your own lusts and downfalls, I'm gonna clean you up, restore you by taking your punishment, making you fit for heaven.
Mm.
How cool is that? Give you life that's gonna go on in my life forever. But he said, you know what I want to do? He says, come and minnow with me. And when you do that, all my life is going to integrate in you.
That's good.
And your life is going to become as if it's my life.
Mm.
Because that's how men work. I sort of integrate it and it just flows out of you.
Mm.
And so you're going to do things which are actually my life and who I am flowing out of you. This is not going to come from you anymore, Josh. You're going to do things from God. You're going to have God life. So you get to be with him and enjoy him, but also have his very life in you flowing out through you. Mm. This is God has said, I'm going to minnow with you.
Yeah.
I'm like,
this is not us initiating it. This is God.
And this is not me worshiping and bowing down and you're the great God. He says, oh yeah, but I'm going to come and do we abide with him or does he abide with us? All right. Now, do I minnow with him or does he minnow with me? All right. Well, look at verse 4 in the New American. Abide in me. Oh, so I minnow. So I minnow with Jesus and I will minnow with you. Mm. Oh, so he minnows with me. Do I minnow with him or does he minnow with me? Yes. It's a two-way process. All right. So it's not like, what an amazing thing that I can actually minnow with the living God.
Yeah.
And he will come and connect with me and bring all his life into me. Don't bring anything into the relationship. All right. I bring nothing.
Yeah.
I'm the branch. It says, if you remove the branch from the vine, what happens to the branch? It dries up.
It withers.
It bears nothing.
Mm.
It only has life when it's minnowing in. There's nothing. I bring nothing to this relationship. But if I minnow with him, suddenly I have all this life flowing through me. Verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away and dries up, and they gather and cast him in the fire, and they are burned. It's like there's nothing. There's nothing. I don't bring anything into this relationship. What? Think about this for a moment. What a privilege.
Yeah.
It's mind. You know, I don't want to say blowing. I don't want my mind to be blown. It's somewhat glorious. It is so glorious, this concept that he would come and minnow with me and allow me to minnow with him, and all his life is now going to flow through, and I'm going to become a representative of him. And he says, and eventually, when you die, you come with me, and we continue this in for eternity heaven. But that's why it's not about heaven. It's one of the. This was what excited him.
Yeah,
you're going to get to minnow, the same as I've been minnowing the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's been. You now going to get this connection, and through that, Josh, I'm going to be able to connect with you through to everybody. Whereas here on the earth, I was, it was just limited.
Yeah.
While I was here, I was in the earth. I couldn't do this minnowing, but through the Spirit now. I'm going to be abiding with you. You're going to abide with me. Now, just one final thought on this. when we get to heaven, there is we might read a scripture. 1 Corinthians 3:10. This is why this becomes really, really important. Remember bookends? I do everything now with an understanding of what's on both ends. And say, well, you're going to heaven. Yeah, no, not just going to heaven. If I take my branch and try and accomplish anything, nothing. Absolutely nothing. I can't accomplish anything. But if I minnow him, life flows and stuff comes out of me. Words, I say things, I do things, I stay with people. You know, one of the things is I remain. I become more. It's almost like the list of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, the fruit of the spirit. What is that? That's the minnow.
Yeah.
That's the I'm marinating in with that, and that life is now starting to come out of me.
That's good. Yeah.
So I minnow and I get the fruit of the spirit and I get the life of God and I stay and I'm faithful and I can connect and all the rest. So all this life comes out of me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. Now, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I laid out a foundation and others building upon it. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it. For if a man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Think in the terms. Can you minnow with something that's not Jesus? And okay, that means, that's called a dead branch. Or, you know, that's or you have restricted the life of that branch from coming out of you. Jesus said in Mark, he said, give you a parable. Man goes and sows seed, and the seed falls on the hard ground, doesn't get spent. No minnow. All right?
Yeah.
Falls on a ground that's got rocky soil. The roots can't go down, and when the heat comes, it attached, but it didn't remain.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay, so it got the attachment, but not the remaining.
Yeah.
So it died because it didn't allow this to get into the consistency. Then there's a third type where it falls in and it springs up, but it allows the cares and the worries of life to so choke it that it's alive, but it's not bearing any fruit. The minnow is not able to come through it because I am so consumed with what is around me and so worried and pursuit and hungry for my own pleasure. You know, it talks about the pursuit of pleasures and I'm chasing my own dreams and desires and I'm so busy with life that I'm connected with God, just life is, I've got no time for this, or I've got no emotional energy for it. I've got no intellectual energy. Yeah. I've got no, I'm so focused and I'm having to deal with this. You don't realize, people, and if you ever challenge them this, you don't realize how busy I am. Or you don't realize how much pressure I'm under. All right? Okay, whoa, back. And that's you don't expect the minnow.
Yeah.
I haven't got time for this minnow.
Mm.
I'm connected, but I haven't got time to do all this. It's all right for you. You know, you're a full-time pastor. You know? It's not about that. You know, full-time pastors can be fruitless because you can get busy with the cares of the church.
Yeah.
All right. Minnow means that I keep that relationship clear so that the life can be flowing out. And I've got to keep those things at distance. I can't be caught up in the cares and the worries of this life. All right. So this person here, they've minnowed, but he builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw. Each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If man's work, which he has built upon it, remains, oh no, I wonder what word that is. I hope it's meadow. Do you think it'll be meadow? Got to be meadow, doesn't it? It's got to be meadow. If anyone, we're safe. remains, guess what? Manor! Remains, abide, dwell, live. All right, so just to prove that word there is manor. If any man's work which has built upon it, minnows, it's gone right through to the end. It's been consistent. He will receive a reward. But if any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. So this is the third type of seed. Yeah. You get saved, but you've got no fruits come through the minnow. Nothing, the minnow hasn't...
Nothing to show for it.
Nothing, because your life has not become out of feeding in that relationship. You've been putting the coffee in, and your life is coffee. There's been no tea.
I'm going to have a coffee after this. Yeah.
Do you know that you are a temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? I don't think that word dwells is minnow. I honestly don't. I'll just have a quick check.
Like just lives or...
Oikia. It just means a dwelling place, to reside.
Mm.
All right, so... And the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, but the temple of God is holding that you are what you are. All right, I think they've moved on. What it says is, at this bookend, there will come a time when your life will be evaluated for what has flown out.
Mm.
And was it minnow? Was it out of minnow? Jesus says, not only do you get to do all this stuff and be with me and flow, everything you do out of me eventually has a reward waiting for it.
That's good.
When you get there, there's a reward for men. You say, well, how will God be able to know what was for men and what was here? And it's like, seriously? If I gave you two cups and one had coffee and one had tea, and you say, will you know the difference? God says, actually, I apply a little... I'm able to apply a test. And what does it say? He says he applies his fire. And... each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. There is a test, and everything in your life, actually, that's not minnow, just will be gone.
Mm.
And you'll be left with only that which has come out of that connection. So everything that you did, the attitudes, the life, the choices you made, the way you reached out to your neighbor, the things... the kind words you spoke to the person when you at the shop... Because they flowed out of menno, they all count.
That's good, yeah.
All right? But everything else that was just you and frustration and manipulation and anger or just lust or trying to, chat that person up because I think, I want what they've got, do you know what I mean? Or, I'm trying to get a good... I'm being kind to that person because, they might give me a cheaper price, or I'm just trying to make myself look good, or I'm trying to be Christian, and my Christianity is look how hard I'm working and look at what a good person I am. Well, all gone. John chapter 3. And we'll finish on this. John 3:21. Jesus said, this is why the world doesn't like me. We say, oh, the world loves you. Yeah, not all the world. He said, the one who practices this truth, walking in the truth, comes to me the light, because your deeds will be manifested as having been wrought in God.
Mm.
People who are minnowing love Jesus.
Yeah.
And love the light. Come on, shine. Yeah. I love the fire. Come on, burn.
Yeah, that's so good.
But if I'm wood, hay, stubble, I'm trying to protect myself. And don't look at me. Don't shine the light here. I look good in the shadows, but not good in the light.
Yeah.
And it's what Jesus, that this is, there's a light to be shone. Mm. So minnowing to Jesus is like, it's an amazing thing. I get to connect with you. You get to do and be me.
Mm.
And that's why it says in John, I said last scripture, but that's...
I think there's always time for one more.
Yeah, that's the wind-up last one. look at this scripture. I wasn't even playing this. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me?
Mm.
that the words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding, minnowing me, does his works. He said, this is how it's all working. This minnowing me. This is how it all works, people. And truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do. What type of works? The minnow works.
Yeah.
The minnow works I've been doing, you shall do also. And even greater. He says, it's awesome. The things I've been doing out of this relationship, you're going to get to do.
Mm.
And even greater, because it's going to be everybody. Not just one, it's everybody. You're doing. So you're going to do great things. You're going to be a great... We're going to connect together. Josh, we're going to have so much... You know, I'm going to connect with you. You're going to connect with me. And he says in John 15, I'm not going to read the scripture now. I'm just going to quote it. But he says, this is servants used to have this relationship. We're not going to have a servant relationship. We're going to have friend.
Yeah.
I'm going to call you friend. We're going to have a friend relationship. Oh, Josh, it's going to be amazing. And you, I'm going to pour. You're going to get this same opportunity. The Spirit's going to marinate you and bring me into you. And you're going to start acting and living and being like me. Mm. And just like I was like the Father, you're going to be like me. And then you're going to do this and you're going to be a different person. And Josh. When it comes to the end and we shine the light and we apply the fire, you're going to have a whole lot of stuff that has flowed out of you that is minnow stuff. And guess what? There's rewards for you in heaven for those that minnow.
Yeah.
There's rewards. If you get that, there's responsibilities, there's opportunities that are going to happen. You say, but what about those people that don't? I think... this is not a new scripture because I'm going back to the...
Doesn't count.
Doesn't count because I'm going back to just quoting a scripture we already... if any man's work is burned up, he will suffer the loss of that, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. No, yeah, they'll get in.
Mm.
But Josh, you have made this connection work.
Yeah.
And it's coming. Look at, and there's so many opportunities. You're going to have opportunities in heaven and doors open to you and privileges and things that I don't know even, I just know it's good.
Mm.
And God's saying, the more that you minnow, and we don't do it for this motivation.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. I don't minnow so I get my prayers answered. I don't minnow so I get rewards in heaven. In fact, if I do it with that thing, it'll burn up.
Yeah, it won't be.
If I do it with a wrong motive, it goes anyway. He said, you just get consumed with this. And guess what? I want you to ask and ask a lot.
Yeah.
And I want you to look at your, you know, where you've come from and where you're going. All this minnowing, because there's sometimes there's a cost to minnowing.
Mm.
It's dwelling and it's remaining.
Yeah.
You've got to be consistent and you've got to hold in and you've got to... In doing this, you come back to the fly trap. Sometimes it does mean that the things of the world, which are attractive, you can't pursue them.
Yeah.
You can't chase them. You can't get caught up in them. You can't run after them. And so you sort of like, oh, I'm the weak idiot that doesn't know this or doesn't, you know. sometimes... When it comes to this world, I'm a bit of a moron. It's actually, there's Bible for that. That's where the word comes from. But it sort of means I'm not a part of this world.
Mm.
I don't fit in with this world.
Yeah.
And sometimes that becomes really obvious. Now, I'm not saying that we dress like, you know, we're in the 16th century, that type. Some people make themselves not fit in by just being weird.
Mm.
All right. But I'm talking about there's a spirit that I'm not a part of.
Yeah.
And there's a life that I know nothing of. And there's, and at times, I really feel not part.
We're just passing through.
Yeah, just passing through. I'm not part of this. And it feels, and they make you say, you're missing out. You don't know. And and there are some Christians that live, you know, a bit of, that they're doing some wood, hay, stubble stuff. And they're like, hey, you know, you don't need to be like that. You can be cool. We can do both.
Yeah.
We can be in both camps and enjoy ourselves in both camps. And I'm like, yeah. But when the fire is applied, I don't want to be all burned up.
Mm.
And so it does actually mean minnowing does actually become restrictive at times.
Yeah.
But that's, I want you to be restricted in the sense of in that tube, because my restriction is way broader than their freedom.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good.
My restriction is so liberating and so freeing, but at times it's okay, I just can't do what everyone else is doing.
That's where you got to be focused on the goal, yeah. What you're trying to do.
Yeah.
Because if you're not doing that and you start, well, you are doing it, but you start to look out there, it's like, oh.
Yeah, you start to chase and then you hit the wall. You know. So minnowing is about remaining. Yeah,
that's good.
And about abiding. Mm. You've got to stay consistent. You've got to hold. But it's relational, and so it's not hard work, but it's... So, you know, that, I think that's Jesus coming to the end of it. He says, "This is, I'm so excited." And he says, "For the joy that's set before you, you're going to get your prayers answered." And I said, I just can't help myself. One last one. John 15. He says, if you do this whole abiding stuff, he says, you know, It's right at the end of all this abiding. He says, "These things I've spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be made full."
Mm.
If I minnow, it's the best thing ever.
Yeah,
he says. So good. He says, "That's why I'm so excited. If you do this, there's a joy that's in that minnowing, and you're gonna have the best time ever."
Unparalleled. Nothing would come near to it or close to it.
Yeah.
That joy that you can have and experience.
And then his disciples would look and they'd hear all this and they'd say, "Are we overthrowing Rome now?"
Oh dear. I laugh at them, but like, would I have done any different?
And they're like, "Can I sit next to you on the throne?"
The Sons of Thunder.
Yeah, can I sit next to you and the others say, "Hey, I heard he's asking to sit on the throne. How dare you? I get to sit on the throne." She's like, I'm trying to teach you about menno. And you guys," and it wasn't until afterwards.
Yeah.
John said it was afterwards when they suddenly, Holy Spirit.
Light bulb went on.
Bong. This is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. This is what he was teaching us. So I sort of feel Jesus is so excited, like so excited.
Yeah.
Pause at it. This is what it's all about. And they're like, when do we get the swords and kill the Romans? Yeah. So, but read it with that sense of this is what he was just. This is what it's all about.
Yeah.
This is what I was passionate. So, the purpose of today's message was, I was trying to summarize what I saw Jesus. This is why he was living and showing and demonstrating this menno. He was saying, "You're going to menno. This is what it's all about. This is the key to it." Okay. So we're going to close there. And this is definitely the last close. So, what? You want one more scripture?
Yeah.
No.
Another one.
just one more. Just one more. No, I'm actually... I think empty from today. I think we've done what
that was,
is...
That was amazing. That was awesome.
So menno. If you get excited, go and read it in John and 1 John. Just use it. Especially this passage. Like, so it's you'll find it in other places, but it doesn't have the depth of meaning because it's just a normal word. But Jesus has just taken that word and added a whole lot of depth to it. So you can read that and go and enjoy where you see it. But I believe it's the key to that, and what does it look like? I want you to meditate on that. I want you to, you know, marinate in it and think about what it does. It actually mean to dwell and abide and remain and stay with Jesus. These are conceptual things, and that's one of the things. And so, read through for John 15, and say, "Well, Jesus, what does it look like to do this and to bear fruit?" And just take any clue you can, and then build that in you. All right, well, bless you so much. Thank you, Josh. And
glad to be back.
And for those that joined us online and those that are watching in the future, catching up and enjoying, I just really believe that God would give you this revelation and you would just go and spend time. Someone might be watching this and you've watched right through out of fascination, but you're actually not connected with Jesus. Does happen. People, you know, because they're watching and they get drawn, they get attracted to what have they got. Well, you can make that connection. Jesus said, if you just believe, which is put your trust and roll your trust and care in me, and you can invite Jesus to come and minnow and dwell with you. Now, you must make a choice. You must remove yourself from any your old connections, and you say, Jesus, only one connection. You can only have one vine.
Yeah.
All right? Only one vine. You can't have the vine of self and the vine of the world and the vine of your old gods. You've got to wait. If you would do that, you can just simply pray. You can use your own words or a prayer, something like, Jesus, I come to you. I want to connect with you. I want the life that you give, but I need your forgiveness and healing. And I ask you to take everything away that I've my sin and my damaged life, bring it to you, and I receive your healing. I receive your forgiveness. And now I connect to you. Mm. You're the Lord. You've got full permission. You now trim me, clean me, fix me up. I just want to live for you, and I receive that now in Jesus' name. That's your entry point into this world. Then you best thing to do is join with others, connect with the church, because don't try and minnow alone. Join with others so that you can work together. All right, thank you, Pastor Peter and Josh, for your input. I really appreciate your comments. Thank you, Judith, and others that have been watching. Be blessed, and look forward to seeing you next Friday for... more on Jesus. And we've got an exciting announcement stuff that's coming up. We're going to have a special guest in the month of April, I believe. Someone who's promised to come on. We're going to be doing this, if it all works out, live from America.
Mm.
We're going to have a guest and we'll do
That'd
a...
exciting.
We'll do something. So we've got some good things and we're going to speak about Jesus and this menno, how this works through that. So hopefully maybe next week, the week after, I might be able to give you some details. But we're looking forward to meeting next Friday for another session of Breakthrough Academy. God bless you.
Be blessed.